In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, your miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray that you would grant us mercy, and pray for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your dear beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, for a sinful thing.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It is good to give thanks to the
O Son of God, our blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you called Matthew the tax collector to be an apostle and evangelist. Through his faithful and inspired witness, grant that we may also follow you, leaving behind all covetous desires and love of riches. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Matthew is from Ezekiel chapters 2 and 3. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me. And behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me. And it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you receive in your heart and with your ears, and go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fulfillment of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
And sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning we commemorate the power and grace of God at work in the life of St. Matthew, apostle and evangelist. We know St. Matthew was an apostle, one of the 12. We confess that St. Matthew wrote the Holy Gospel that bears his name and gives testimony to the life and ministry of our Lord. Other than that, we don't know much. Nothing definite is known about his later life. Tradition points to Ethiopia as his field of labor, but there are other traditions that mention Parthia and Persia. It is agreed by all traditions that he received the crown of martyrdom, but we don't know for sure where, how, or when. St. Matthew's later life remains a mystery to us. But what we do know from Holy Scripture is that he was a tax collector and a sinner. Tax collectors, as instruments of Rome, were despised by the Pharisees and the people, as you know and have heard many times. As instruments of greed, making healthy commissions on their collections, they were notoriously dishonest. Tax collectors were held in with such contempt that they had been barred from the synagogues and were considered unclean by the Jewish law. St. Matthew would have been ostracized by the Jewish community, his own people, simply on account of what he did as a profession. For all we know, he may have been the one honest tax collector in town. Not likely, but it's possible. But it's a moot point, for his profession brought him scorn, deserved or not. And regardless of how St. Matthew conducted himself as a tax collector, what we do know with absolute certainty is that he, like all human beings, was sick with the disease of sin. What a scandal it was, then, in the eyes of the people, for Jesus to call St. Matthew to follow him. Not only to follow him, but to be one of his 12, to be one of his apostles that he would later send out with the message of the gospel. But Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He did not come to gain popularity with the people. He was not the least bit interested in being politically correct. It wasn't his practice to surround himself with disciples that would please the people. He came to save the lost, to heal the sick, to call sinners unto himself. His choice of St. Matthew was a powerful object lesson for all to see what his mission and ministry was truly all about. He doesn't just say that he came not to call the righteous but sinners, but he shows that he means it, as is most vividly clear by his choice of St. Matthew, a vile and hated tax collector. Now, the temptation for us is to hear all of that and think, well, that's nice. Jesus cares even for such reprehensible sinners. I'm glad he brings them into his church to be with us. That's a very dangerous way to think. And truth be told, it's not very honest. It's not a very honest way to think either. It's a dangerous way to think because such thinking is driven by a false understanding of ourselves, as if we are not such reprehensible sinners. Oh, it's nice that Jesus brings them into his church to be with the more respectable sinners like us. To think that way is to entirely miss the point. Just like the Pharisees, by the way. For it fails to recognize that we are no less reprehensible in our sinful ways than was St. Matthew, the tax collector. And it's not very honest because it's also hypothetical. It's easy to say, oh, that's nice. He let a tax collector into the church. But what would be the response in most conservative congregations if an ex-convict or a known drug dealer or a prostitute or what have you was to show up and start attending regularly? There would be murmurings. There would be phone calls made between members to discuss the new element in the church. The gossip would be even more palatable than usual. The question on most people's minds would be similar to the Pharisees' question to Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Repent. That's the way, way wrong question to ask. The question each one of us should ask is, why does Jesus eat with me? In fact, a place at Jesus' table is reserved only for sinners who ask that question, recognizing that they surely don't deserve to sit and eat with him. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, our Lord says. And he doesn't mean to suggest that anyone is actually well, but is pointing out that those who think they are well, those who cannot see how sick they are because of sin, but think they're decent enough, or at least better than them, have no need of the healing medicine he offers at his table, and they will not receive it. Repent. Dear friends, you are sinners. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ sent Ezekiel and all the prophets to preach to the house of Israel, whether they would hear or refuse to hear that truth. It is what our Lord's apostles were sent out to preach to the people of their day, urging them to recognize their sinful condition, that they would repent. And it is still the message our Lord Jesus preaches through his called and ordained servants in his church today. You are sinners, sick people, in need of a physician. If that is not the message preached by anyone claiming to serve in Christ's stead and by his command, it is a false message being given by a false prophet. For it is only that message that leads to the good news of Jesus being the physician sick sinners like you need. He is the eternal doctor who alone can heal your disease. For he took your disease of sin unto himself and suffered its effects through death on the cross. And on the third day he rose again, proving that he had won the victory over sin and death. He is now both the physician and the medicine we need. As the medicine of life, Jesus Christ is poisonous to Satan and even to our own sinful flesh. But he is also an antidote for human sin, death, and mortality. For Jesus is the medicine of immortality. In him, there is true rest and true peace. For heavy-laden sinners, burdened by the devil, the sinful world, and their own sinful flesh. For in him and in him alone, there is forgiveness, life, and salvation. There is rescue from the death we deserve. And Jesus invites only sinners into his holy house to sit at table and dine with him. Here in his holy church, he delivers unto us sinners the medicine our sin-sick bodies need. Here he heals our spirits. Here he gives us his life through his holy word and his holy sacraments. This is why the church is often described by people who know what the church is, by the early church fathers and theologians throughout history, as a hospital. Christ's hospital, where he, the great physician, gives out the medicine of life and immortality. Sick sinners enter here. They enter here in faith for their treatment, knowing that this is the only place where they can get the treatment they need for their disease of sin. Go and learn what this means, Jesus says. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It means that his is the desire to save those who need saving. His is the desire to dispense his grace, his undeserved favor upon those who do not deserve it, those who cry out to him in mercy, those who want to sacrifice to him with their own works and their own ways, thinking that those sacrifices, those works, please him and merit from him eternal salvation, is not what he desires. He desires to heal you through his word spoken to you from the holy pulpit, where your doctor informs you that his death and resurrection is your salvation. Your healing comes through the life-giving waters of holy baptism, where your Lord cleansed your leprous and diseased flesh. The medicine for your sickness, dear friends in Christ, is dripping blood and bloody flesh of the great physician, our Lord Jesus, which he distributes to you in his holy supper. So come to this hospital, you who are sick, and listen to your doctor, who says to you, open your mouth and eat what I give you. Eat my word. Eat my body. Drink my blood. This medicine cures your disease and makes you whole. It even transforms you into a healthy person so that you grow in love of God and love of neighbor. For do notice that St. Matthew, upon being called by Jesus to follow him, left behind his sinful life as a tax collector and followed Christ. It doesn't mean that he stopped being a sinner, to be sure, but it does mean that he ceased living in sin and began living in repentance and faith, which is what our Lord calls you, St. Matthew, to do as well. From the cradle to the grave, Jesus Christ is your great physician, treating you with his grace for life and health that will last not only for your lifetimes here, but for eternity. Here in this hospital, he comes not to call the righteous, not those who think they're good, decent Christians and come to church just to show that, but he comes to call sinners. Those who recognize that they are lost without him. He comes to make sick sinners well and nourishes them unto eternity. He comes not only to forgive your every sin, dear friends, not only to cleanse you in his holy blood, but to strengthen you to battle against sin and amend your sinful ways. To grow up, as St. Paul says, in every way, into him who is the head, into Christ. For sick sinners like you and me, there is no more glorious news than this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you teach us in your word how good it is to give you thanks and to sing praises to you. And so we glorify you for the love that sustains us from day to day, for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for the companionship of your Holy Church, and the hope of the age to come. For all these and for all your benefits, receive our humble praises, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember your holy church scattered throughout the world, and enable your children to live as redeemed sinners, recognizing that they're no better than the tax collector who became St. Matthew by your grace, that they may sing your praises every day, and summon all people into the joy of giving thanks to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Michael, our circuit visitor, Thomas, our pastor, and all the servants of your word, and keep them steadfast in your word, that they may preach and teach your unchanging word in an increasingly changing world, where it is becoming less popular with each passing day. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember all our public servants, giving them wisdom and courage to serve according to your will, together with all who serve in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Schaub, and Justin Wyborn, asking that your protecting hand rest upon them. Lord, in your mercy. Remember those who cry to you in their time of need, for you are a mighty rock of refuge. We commend to your healing mercy and love all in need, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wilshire, Ella Shaw, Marlene Miller, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullen, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Albert Cole, Phil Warsaw, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schau, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snow, David Gursky, and Mark Schultz. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, O Lord, those who mourn, and grant them comfort in Christ's victory over death and the grave, together with the peace that comes from you alone. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, Heavenly Father, all who come today to the table of Christ's very body and blood, and fill them with repentance, faith, and hope, that they may receive the medicine of immortality given in the Holy Eucharist to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. We remember, O King of love, all who have fallen asleep in faith in Christ, and we beg you to bring us with them to the unending joy of your feast, to sing your praises without end. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant to us, O Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Truly me. right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant, Saint Matthew, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ. Given for you. The very body of Christ 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 given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptism vows all the days of your life. Nathan, the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of joy of our lives. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
his holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Countenance upon you and give you peace.